Lord, we thank you that you're with us every time we gather together in your name. And there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Hallelujah. How great is our God. Hallelujah. You see, if we shrink him in our mind and our hearts, then, you know, that's unbelief. And God doesn't honor that. That's why we are called to, in the Bible, to exalt or to magnify, also to magnify, to make big our God. Amen? It's like looking through a magnifying lens, right? Understanding the immensity, the hugeness of our God. He's the God of all creation. Spoke everything, the cosmos, everything, and science is still discovering more and more and more. It's going on and on and on and on and on. And it was from the word that God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke it. He spoke us into existence that we would be here even tonight in this place, this little speck of dust, you know, called the earth in this huge cosmos. And then even on this speck of dust called the earth is even somebody smaller than you and I. And even at the molecular level, you know what? God has just put us all together in an amazing, miraculous way. They really cannot explain it, folks. They can't even explain what is holding the earth in its orbit, in its place. Except we know it's the word of God that was spoken. And God gave unto us his word, his authority on the earth to invoke heaven's influence that through us we would speak and it would be so. When we speak what God is speaking, it will be. Amen? It will always be. We need to hear what he's saying and speak what he's saying. We need to see what he's doing and do what he's doing. So he hasn't left us comfortless or powerless. He's given us the comfort of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be effective witnesses. Amen. Not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And this is the true gospel. This is the full gospel. And we get to be a part of what he's doing. And it's the stepping out of the boat that we need to do. When you do that and you step out for him, he meets you there on the water. Amen. And if you begin to sink, thank God Jesus is right there to pull you up. Amen. How many know you may sink a few times before you're able to walk effectively on the water, right? Amen. But the thing is to get out of the boat and God won't, but he won't let you drown. You may get a couple gulps of water, but he won't let you drown because he'll be right there to pull you up. But you'll never know what God will do through your life until you take the step out of what just you and I can do naturally. Into the realm of the supernatural. Amen. Yes. By the Spirit of God. It's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is a work that he will do. And it's through just common vessels like you and I. And God is raising up an army throughout the earth. Many, many people are coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Here in America, we'll just keep plowing, plowing, plowing. Amen. God breaks up the fallow ground. God breaks up the heart, the soil of the heart, and prepares it for the seed. And America is getting a plowing, I believe, right now. And it's you and I that are going to pray, God, now don't plow up the people, plow me up too. Because I don't want to be hardened. I don't want to be indifferent. I don't want to be apathetic. I want to be vibrant, alive, and walking, amen, in the freshness, the newness of each day with you. Hallelujah. And watching your glory, watching your miracles, and seeing what God will do through me. Yeah, even me, we say, right? Yeah, that's the cool thing. It's not, God's not looking for the golden vessels, as someone once said, but what? Yielded vessels. Just someone is saying, here am I, Lord, send me. We get to do this. We get to do this. And yeah, they may look at you and say, isn't that the carpenter's son? Wouldn't they say that about Jesus? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Oh, hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. Jesus wants us to walk as he did. He wants us to become like him. And we do that because we yoke together. We're connected with him. Amen. I want to talk tonight about why Jesus came. How many know that we can forget our purpose, lose sight of our purpose very easily? This morning we were talking about avoiding the crash and how God gave Israel what they lusted after in the wilderness because they kept begging them for meat. And he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. They might have been plump on the outside, but they were skinny on the inside, you know? And how many know that the most important part of your being is your spiritual life? We should take care of our bodies, but our internal life is the most important. Because everything, godliness is good for everything. Amen? We need to focus on that, and we need to avoid those things that cause us to be distracted and bring leanness into our soul. There are so many things we talked about this morning about how sometimes the pursuit of wealth, you know, has choked so many. They become unfruitful. The worries of this life, you know, cares of this life that can enter in and choke us and allow us to become thin-souled, if you will, spiritually impoverished. Why? Because worry is unbelief. Worry is us saying, God, you're not big enough to take care of me. And we have to repent of that. I have to at times. I mentioned this morning, I'm just being honest, that I have my moments too. I'm like, God, what about, things are looking pretty shaky right now, you know, in the world. And if we're looking at that, how many know you will get shaken up? If you spend too much attention looking at all the negative that's going on around you, you can get shaken up. We got to start giving more attention to Jesus. We got to give more attention to God. We need to magnify God in our eyes. And He needs to be the biggest, amen, on the block. He is already, but, you know, sometimes if we're too focused on what's broken and what's not right in our world and what's happening and what Washington's doing, we can get discouraged because the problems magnify themselves and they begin to cloud our thinking. And all of a sudden, we can get very downcast. Like David said, why so downcast, O my soul? What was the answer? He said, put your trust in God. Just put your trust in Him. Get your eyes off that and get your eyes on Him. And find your rest in Him. Find your peace in Him. You know, it's getting to the point, folks, where it's going to be sink or swim for God's people too. I mean, if we're going to be able to survive the things that are coming and the difficulties and the stresses of this life without losing more hair and having ulcers and who else knows what's going to happen. But, you know, God wants us to rest in Him. Learn how to find rest in Him. Learn how to find peace in Him. Learn how to let stuff go. Learn how to cast your cares upon Jesus. And instead of carrying around and looking like, you know, the world is coming to an end. Well, it's not for us. The world is not coming to an end, folks. He says, I'm going to make all things new. Amen? He's going to make all things new. That's what we're looking forward to, a new heavens and a new earth. So what we need to do is give God glory, just like Abraham did. Instead of complaining about stuff, let's give God glory. Amen? And God is pleased with that. And God says, okay, I'm going to take care of you. You're trusting me. You believe I'm big enough to take care of that, don't you? Oh, yes, Lord. And then some. But it looks so impossible. Well, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Oh, I didn't even think about that. It's just one other side of the boat, I suppose. But okay. Nonetheless, at your word, Lord. See, they got a word, and they did what He said, and voila, God took care of it. God provided supernaturally. Luke 4:18-21, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus stood up the synagogue, and He said, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So why Jesus came? Here it is. Number one, says, I've come to what? Preach the good news to the poor. Now, when I first read that, I thought, okay, well, there's a lot of poor people, you know? And in America, even the poor people are rich compared to a lot of poor folks. Would you agree? I mean, our people on welfare, there's many people that would love to be over here and be on welfare. You know, because to them that would be rich, because they're barely scraping by, you know, They're happy if they get one meal a day, and they may work all day just to get that. God wanted to bring good news, yes, to the poor. I believe also to the financially poor, to the impoverished people of the world. But we need to look at it also in the light of what is true poverty. True poverty is poverty of the spirit, isn't it? The greatest poverty is the poverty of our spirit. And this morning we talked about leanness, you know. If we can be rich externally but poor internally. The good kind of poor, the kind of poor that God pays attention to, is the poor in spirit. It's those who say that I realize that I don't have what it takes to live for Him. I realize that He is my all-sufficiency, amen? My all-sufficient God, and that my life depends on Him. Does anybody here feel that way? That your life depends on God? I mean, you're at that place where you depend on God now. Before, you'd do it all on your own, and I can take care of myself, and I don't need anybody helping me, right? Especially some of us guys, we have difficulty letting go of the reins and saying it's okay now to let God now be in the lead. When we're used to being in the driver's seat, it's hard sometimes to step aside and say, okay, Lord, now You take over. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are spiritually impoverished. Why? Because they're going to receive the kingdom. They're going to receive the eternal riches, the superior riches of who He is. God gives Himself to us. He gave us Christ. Amen? Who completes us, who fulfills us, who brings satisfaction to us. He is our bread. The humble in heart, God gives His grace to those who will humble themselves and acknowledge their need before God. Amen? If we are self-sufficient or if we are self-confident, God cannot pour out His grace there. And it's true about ministry as well. Whatever your ministry is, everybody here has a ministry. Whatever that ministry is, you have to understand that it's not of you, and it can't be. Don't ever get into a place where you're on autopilot and you just can do it because you're just good at it. Amen. You have to be in a place where you know that in order to truly be effective in touching lives around you, you're going to need the grace of God to do it. Because I can't change anybody, but the Holy Spirit can. And so I ask Holy Spirit, work through me, speak through me, touch through me, reach through me, right? Heal through me. And He does. But I have to be in a place where I'm not. It's not about me anymore. It's not about my own confidence and my ability, but my confidence becomes my God now. He is my confidence. He is my glory and the lifter, or my confidence, the lifter of my head. My confidence is now in my God. David was a broken man. David was a humble man. David was a man who relied upon God's grace. He had many enemies. He had many problems. And so he would find himself in the secret place of the Most High. He would draw near to his God, and his God would give him the strength that he needed. He'd give him wisdom. He would give him strategies. He would teach him, you know, how to war. He would teach him how to build instruments of praise. And everything he was receiving by revelation from the Father, because he was in a place of humility before God. He was poor in spirit. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Again, it has to be of Him and not of us. In order to be effective, we need to realize we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A good indication that we are self-confident is when we stop praying. When we stop reading the Bible. Are you with me? When we stop praising and worshiping Him. That's an indication that we are becoming self-sufficient, self-confident. When we realize that we need Him, then we will do, amen, what is necessary to receive from Him. And we are called in Psalms 100 to come before His presence with singing, to enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. God inhabits praise, and He is our strength. He is our joy. He is our help. The second thing is Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, we know that life deals us blows all the time. Things happen, tragedies, people that we love pass away. You know, there are many people who are broken over their circumstances, their situation. And God is the healer. He wants to intervene in that situation and heal, because Jesus Himself suffered in the flesh. He identifies with us. He knows what it's like to suffer in the flesh. He knows what it is to grieve over someone who is lost. Even when Lazarus had died, it says that he wept. Jesus wept. He has that heart, amen, that can identify with us. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And so the Lord is calling us to, help me Jesus, to understand that if we truly want to be healed, again, it comes through a heart that realizes that we can't fix ourselves, we can't heal ourselves, that it is of His grace and not of us. Everything that we need is in Him. He is the one who completes us. And brokenhearted people are also those, I believe, and we've talked about this, who are broken even by the Lord so that they might be in a place where they are now user-friendly. Are you hearing me? I mentioned it this morning, and I did get a couple people that nodded their heads and they didn't agree with me, but it's biblical that God will tear, but God will heal. God will discipline, but God will build. Amen? God has to break down our false conceptions of who He is, the gods that we have erected in our own imagination. He has to bring that to naught so that He can erect, amen, and give us a true picture of who He is. And we will represent Him accurately, because God is being misrepresented in the earth. Are you with me? And I pray, God, I don't want to misrepresent You. And the best way to represent God is by the grace of God. Amen. By the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, by the revelation of God through the Word of God. Stick to the Word and you'll be okay. God reveals Himself through His Word to us. So we know what God is really like. I mentioned this morning that we can't approach this as though it were a smorgasbord and we just, you know, pick and choose what we like. And I don't like that verse, but I like that one. And you know, I like the sweets, but I don't like the, you know, the healthy food over here. I don't like the rabbit food. But God is giving us the full counsel, the full balance, the full meal. He gives us Himself. Amen. So that we will know Him. God wants us to grow up and be mature, to be just like Jesus. And you cannot be just like Jesus if you want to be partial in what you receive from His Word. You will be unhealthy if we decide to pick and choose what we're going to receive from God rather than allow Him to tell us, you know, what the truth is. Idolatry, again, is fashioning a God to suit ourselves. Well, to me, God is like this. So He came to heal those who were broken, even those made contrite by the Spirit. How many know that the woman who was a sinner in the city had come in and she wept on Jesus' feet and she ministered to the Lord and she washed His feet with her hair. She poured out her heart. She was brokenhearted, but she had a contriteness. What was going on was she was repenting. She was repenting at His feet. She had realized that she was a sinner, and she knew that Jesus was her help. Jesus was the one that could help her. So she ministered to the Lord. She came and laid out before the Lord, and Jesus had mercy, had compassion upon her, and He sent her away justified. Are you hearing me? She was broken-hearted, broken in spirit, made contrite by the work of the Holy Spirit, folks. It is only by the Holy Spirit that you and I can be brought to repentance, brought to true faith in Jesus. There are people who are slick and can have the gift of gab and can get people to do things and they respond to altar calls, but unless it's the Holy Spirit, there's not going to be a true conversion. Are you hearing me? There are people who have false conversions. They're not truly converted. Amen. They might have had an emotional moment or their emotions were manipulated by someone. But true conversion produces fruit. True conversion means I don't live like I used to. I don't do the things I used to do. True conversion says I have forsaken Egypt. I've forsaken sin. And I am now giving myself fully to Jesus Christ for the rest of my life, to live the rest of my days for His glory and for His praise. That is repentance, folks. It's not coming to some altar saying an ABC prayer and then going out and living the rest of your life for yourself. That's not why Jesus died. Jesus died, amen, because He wants to disciple you and I. He wants us to grow and to become like Him. And He wants us to also go and do likewise, to find faithful men and women that we can impart this truth to and also make disciples. This is what Jesus wants us to do. Amen. Not just go to church, but Jesus wants us to make disciples. And so often we've been distracted. We've gotten these other gospels that have come in, and some people, because they don't even know what the Word says, they listen to their favorite speaker on television and they're getting all this stuff from them that seems right, but in the end it leads to death. Why? Because there's a crossless Christianity. There's a Christianity that says that you can have all of Jesus and have all of you at the same time. And Jesus says, no, if any man will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He said, where I am, there my servant will be also. I want to be where you are, Lord, dwelling daily in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded with your glory. In your presence is where I always want to be. I want to be where you are, Lord. I want to follow you. Many left Jesus. And he said to his disciples, will you leave me also? And he said, Lord, where can we go? You're the author of life. You have the words of eternal life. We know you are the way. We decide, amen, to follow you. Oh, they failed, they stumbled, but they got back up. Amen. And God in his mercy forgave and restored. You know, godly sorrow produces repentance. Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. The third thing that Jesus came to do is to deliver the captives. Liberty, to bring liberty, true liberty. Amen? To the captives. Those held captive to sin. Those held captive to Satan. Those held captive to the law of performance and being good enough and trying hard enough. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Right? Take my yoke upon. Learn of me. I am lowly, meek in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. Our rest is in Him. There is a resting place in God. There is a place of quiet rest near the heart of God. There is a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. We need to press in. We need to draw near to our God. And that's the place where all the worries and the fears and the stress and the things that choke us, amen, fall off. And we find that He sustains us because we are not self-sufficient anymore. We have been brought into a place where now we're user-friendly in the hands of our Master. And we're in a position where now He can breathe in us His life and release us, amen, into fruitfulness in this world. I know we're here tonight because we want to bear fruit. We want to glorify our Father. I know everyone here tonight wants to serve Jesus. That's why you wouldn't be here any other reason. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty in which Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." He was talking about those who began in faith in Jesus, walking in the Spirit. And then there were Judaizers, those who were trying to get him to come back under the law, under the performance of self. And he says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. It cost Jesus his life. He went to the cross to set us free, amen, from religion, so we could walk in new life. We could walk with him free of fear and condemnation and death. Romans 6:18 says, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Are there any slaves of righteousness in here tonight? Amen. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we are servants of the Most High God. John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world, Jesus said. Now, Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. Jesus showed up, amen, and he dealt with the devil. Colossians 2:15 says this about it. Having disarmed principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In what? In the cross. The cross, it was a victory, amen? It's a tree of life for us. Jesus came, fourthly, to give us recovery of sight to the blind. The opening of the prison, it talks about in Isaiah 61, is the same passage that Jesus was reading out of here, as recorded in Luke chapter 4. And what was this prison? This prison is the prison of sin and of vice. He gives sight to those who are unaware of where they are going. Does anybody beside myself need direction? It comes from him, doesn't it? He gives sight to those who are unaware of their true condition as well. It is the light of God, amen, the light of grace, God's Holy Spirit that shines into our hearts that causes us to become aware of our true condition. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the time when we're not comfortable in sin, amen, and God makes us miserable there so that we will want to come out of that, amen, and be free and have a clear conscience and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that he came to set us free from those things, those chains. He wants to break every chain and he wants you to be completely free. He wants you to be completely untethered, amen, from Egypt. No looking back, but only looking forward to what he has the new day. Jesus opens the prison of darkness and he sets us free to walk in the light. You know, I heard somebody say this, but he said, God didn't just show up to get you off the hook. Are you with me? He didn't just show up. He didn't go to that cross just to get you off the hook, folks. He went beyond that. He says, I'm not only going to get you off the hook, but I'm going to put you in, amen, my kingdom as a son and a daughter. I'm going to reveal to you my purpose for your life. And your purpose, amen, is to represent me as an ambassador. What a high calling. Amen. We are ambassadors of God on the earth to represent him. He says, I've called you out of darkness, not just so I can be free and get off the hook. As I've heard some people say, he didn't just come to give us fire insurance. Amen. But he came to give us a brand new life, a brand new walk, hope for future. Amen. And fruitfulness along the way as we're looking forward to the day when we see Jesus and we hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We're looking forward to the day when we see him. He came to set the captives free and to give sight to the blind, to let people out of the prison that most of the time we put ourselves into. Would you agree? In Luke 24 and verse 30, it says this, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with him that he took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Luke 24:31, then their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. How did they know him? With the breaking of bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And they didn't know who they were walking with on the road to Emmaus, remember? They thought it was the gardener. They were walking and they were talking. And he said, sir, don't you realize the things that have happened here recently in Israel and how this Jesus of Nazareth was crucified and Jesus was walking with them? It's just like Jesus, isn't it? He's so close to us and we don't see him. We're not recognizing that that's God. Sometimes God shows up in people that we encounter. Isn't that right? People that we minister to. People that he's put in our path that we're supposed to give to. Sometimes we're entertaining angels unaware. Matthew 25, Lord, Lord, when did I see you? Naked and hungry, you know, and in prison and visit you. And as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So, hey, you know, we need to have our eyes open, and Jesus is the one who opens our eyes. How many know that you would not even know who Jesus was except that he chose you? That he decided to reveal himself to you? You wouldn't even know salvation unless God had taken the initiative to seek and to save. Isn't that awesome? God looked for you. He looked for me. I wasn't looking for him. He was looking for me. And he's on a relentless pursuit. And even as his followers, he is relentless with us. Man, because he doesn't want to lose us to this world. He doesn't want the devil to steal from us. He's a jealous God. He wants his bride to be ready, to be prepared, to be beautiful, to be right, to be made into his likeness, or to be one with him. Jesus was revealed to Peter. How many remember that? When he said, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say John the Baptist. Some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. You know, you can ask the same question today in the world, and you get all these variations. Who is Jesus? Well, he was a good man. He was a prophet of God, you know. But who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter, the outspoken one, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Has God been revealed to you? Has Jesus been revealed to you? How many know that if nothing else, we should rejoice the rest of our days in the fact that God has made himself known to us through the Son, Jesus Christ, that he is our Savior, that he bled and died for us on the cross. And when we receive that with gratitude, it should cause us to want to tell others about the same goodness of God, amen, the same grace of God, to tell others about the same Jesus and how they too can be saved. God wants us to be witnesses. And you can't do it in yourself. Well, you can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you'll open up and let God fill you, God will give you supernatural ability to do what you can't do naturally. Amen? Amen. So we can make him known. Hallelujah. Keep pressing in. Pressing in. If you need strength, if you need boldness, it comes from the Lord. And they had gathered together and they had prayed in the book of Acts. It says the place where they were assembled was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God sheepishly. No, it says they spoke the word of God with boldness. Where does our boldness come from? I know it don't come from me. My boldness comes from Jesus. Amen. And he came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That word oppressed means bruised or crushed. To set at liberty also means forgiveness or remission to those who are bruised or crushed. In Isaiah 53:5 it says, but he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And he came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What is that? It's today, folks. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Today the grace of God is being poured out. The Spirit of the Lord is being poured out throughout the earth. Multitudes are coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. As the doors of opportunity are opening up overseas, America has been shutting down and shutting its heart and hardening its heart. But God has a way, amen, even in the whirlwind, God has a way of waking people up, especially His church. He does not want His church asleep. He says, awake, awake, O sleeper. Amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come. You have something that is precious and eternal. And it doesn't matter if we feel, well, I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Don't worry about it. God is smart enough for us. Amen. He's good enough for us. He's big enough for us. It's not of us. It's of Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but step out for Jesus and watch what Jesus will do through your life as you take the step out of that boat of complacency, out of predictability, onto the water with Jesus. Amen. And we learn how to walk on the water in that realm of the supernatural. Hallelujah. Where the kingdom of heaven is manifested in the eyes of the people, where they'll know that God is real. He is alive. Amen. That Jesus is risen. We get to do this. We're set free. The captives have been set free. God wants people free. And it's the truth that sets you free. It's coming to a knowledge of what's real, what's really real. Jesus is the real deal. Amen. Not Coca-Cola. Jesus is real. He's the truth. And He's the truth that sets the captive free. Therefore, let us not become weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Don't give up. Keep on sowing. Keep on watering. Keep on praying. Keep on giving. Keep on worshiping. Keep on serving, loving. And in due season, what you've sown in the Holy Spirit is going to come back. And when God brings a return on what you invest, it's always way beyond what you put into it. Amen. Amen. We're praying today because we know that every day that we pray, amen, there's an accumulation of all those prayers. And as the blessings begin to come back, as God begins to pour it out upon us, hallelujah, the prayers from yesterday and maybe years past begin to snowball. It just begins to come in. And so we don't give up. We keep on praying and praying, and the reaper will overtake the sower. Hallelujah. We're going to be sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. I believe that all these prayers we've been praying, amen, and the outreaches and things that we're doing are making a difference. It may not be making a huge impact right now, but I believe that if we're faithful and we don't give up and we keep pressing on and we kept being faithful to sow in the Holy Spirit, that God in His appointed season is going to release it. And when it comes, we're going to be blown away by what we see God doing. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out on this next wave of glory because we're beginning to experience the beginnings of it right now. Even as we're worshiping, there's a new wave, a fresh wave of His glory coming in. Hallelujah. And God's people are going to be lit up brighter than any Christmas tree. Amen. And the world's going to say, where have you been? I've been with Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You that You came to seek and to save that which was lost. So thankful, Lord, to You. So grateful for the cross and for all You accomplished for us. Lord, it's our reasonable service now to give You back the rest of our lives. Lord, to live every day for You. Help us to die to ourselves, to let go of ourselves, to embrace the call, the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Right where you're at tonight, you can just say, Lord, I'm coming back again. I want to recommit my life to You, Jesus. I want to get back. I want to get to that place, Lord, where my whole world is full of Jesus. Where You're my one and only. You're my greatest desire, my greatest passion. That I love You more than life itself. Even as the psalmist said, your loving kindness is greater than life. My lips shall praise you, thus shall I bless you, and I will lift up my hands in your name. God, may we be worshipers. May we have the heart of David to do all of your will, to be found faithful in all of our house, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Hallelujah.